Your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You are on the clock with Erin Green on this Tuesday, the 5th of April, 2022. And if you heard that music just now, then you must know I am desperately looking for my friend Alpha the Blue Macaw. Listen, my friend has gone missing again, according to his owners. Technically, I am not Alpha's owner, but I would like to be Alpha's owner for 10 minutes. The 10 minutes it would take for me to get that $10,000 reward. Now listen, Alpha went missing, was found in August. Apparently the people who own the bird paid the reward. So apparently they're good for this $10,000. Now listen, please, Alpha is part of an endangered species. So if you see Alpha and you can't catch Alpha, call somebody who you think could catch Alpha. Don't go hating yourself or waste yet hating Alpha for this, my $10,000. Don't do that. Second of all, if you ain't find Alpha, just give up on it. Do not buy blue spray paint and spray a pigeon. In fact, I heard some pigeons. I live in a pigeon forest. So as soon as the show is over, Mark, I going home in the bush to go look for this bird. But do not snatch a pigeon off a Montague ramp and spray paint it blue for my $10,000, please. I don't think you can. I think you got to let it catch you. No, don't try that. No, don't try that. But maybe a net. Maybe a small net. Anyway, Alpha, I miss you, and I'd like to rekindle our relationship. So please, Johnson Road, come find me. Anyway, Alpha was last seen around the Western Road, and the number to call for more details or to collect my reward is 1242-801-7667. Right, 10%. And I can give 10% of that 10% to the church.
There you go.
Because that's justice. Oh, my. Okay. In other news, well, good morning, Mark Palmer. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well. Thank you
for joining me for this world news, sort of global news Tuesday, and some local hot topic news. Yeah. I got a couple of little housekeeping things. First of all, you know, it's traffic. I haven't spoken about traffic in depth for a little while now, despite the fact that we know that the dangerous driving behavior continues to escalate and the lack of enforcement continues unabated. It turns out that Mackey and Shirley Street is not the only section where people have taken it upon themselves to just turn right on red. East Bay Street, when it becomes the Eastern Road, you have that adjunct, that access road to take you back to Village and Shirley. Mm-hmm. People have started turning right on red there as well, like it don't mean anything. I'm going to show you all something. I just want you all to be aware of it, is that people who don't stop at stop signs and red lights and don't follow basic traffic controls are typically people who don't respect the word no. They don't respect boundaries. They don't respect limitations, right?
Well, you know, in the UK, they did a study, and they found that all they had to do was find out who was parking in the disabled spaces. And they found, like, a huge percentage of them were, like, had multiple criminal records, were out on bail, had warrants against them. And so, actually, that they found that kind of by accident. Like you say, they're just not going to do no. So just let them go to the disabled parking place. They've cleaned plenty of these things up in Nassau.
I wasn't even certain the police were aware that we have specified spots for disabled drivers, and there's legislation around it. I'm not sure that business owners understand why they exist and the importance of policing those spaces. Also, I think that people who may rightly be disabled or suffering from an injury that limits their mobility, they don't understand why it's important for them to go and get a placard, why it's important for them to register. And, you know, so people say things like, well, you can't see, I need to park here. And, you know, I've been tempted to say to people, listen, technically, it's difficult to see mental disabilities sometimes. And that you would continue to park in a spot that you're not supposed to park in and hinder the free movement of people who need accessibility. Like, it would suggest to me that you need to park here, but you don't understand how to do it properly. It's just, it's frightening that in 2022, we would like to celebrate ourselves as such a progressive group of people, such a forward-thinking culture, you know, such successful professionals and high-performing governance, you know.
Well, we have one more year to get it right before our 50th. Yeah.
Boy, look here.
50 years, eh?
Because if you don't get it right, I'm putting somebody over my knee. At 50 years, you know, I think the adults have had quite a time to get it right. And maybe we should mete out to them the same punishment that they have meted out to us over the years as children for not getting it right. But that would be cruel and unusual punishment to force our parents to receive
a cut hip.
Yeah, something they may deserve or not deserve. I got a text here that says, those left mergers don't make any sense. Soon as you cross the light, you have to get in the center left lane, and the people don't want to wait till they clear to come over. Just try push you out the way. So those merge lanes, right? Let me tell you all how they work. There's no lane that has a priority, right? You're supposed to stagger your vehicles. One vehicle, one vehicle, one vehicle, one vehicle. Left, right, left, right, left, right. People aren't forcing their way into your lane. If you notice the way that the road is constructed, you can drive in your lane, remain in your lane for the entire route, and when you get to the end of the dual lane setup, you can naturally flow into the single lane without breaching that center lane separating the two cars. This thing is so easy that I am regularly stunned. That's why I don't drive, you know, because sometimes I'm stunned. Not by what people think is acceptable, you know, because Bahamians know that the vast majority of their behavior is not acceptable. It's what they think they could get away with and then be received back into the fold as if they did nothing wrong. It's this, not only am I going to force you to accommodate me, but I'm going to force you to ignore that some breach happened. I'm not just going to, I can bully you. And any time that you would suggest that I've done something to affront the community, to offend you, to harm you, disadvantage you in any way, I'm going to accuse you of attacking me. So yeah, the left merge doesn't make any sense because that's not what it is. It's not a left merge. Right? Just cars, one by one, flowing into a single lane. Nobody has priority. But if a vehicle is in front of your vehicle, if they have the lead, let them have the right of way. Why force your way? And to the people who insist on driving up the center of the dual lane route, Jesus is not pleased. That's it. I mean, simple. Since you all don't have any respect for other citizens, and you certainly don't have any respect or regard for the police, I'm going to remind you that the person that you do say, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, it's not pleased.
Do you think it's gotten worse, Aaron, over the years, over the last, say, 5 years? You think things have gotten worse?
Absolutely. It has absolutely gotten worse. There's been not just a disregard, not just an ignoring of the traffic controls, but a disregard for the implications, right? The impact of our actions on other drivers. And see, I give people, ordinary people, a lot of leeway. They live very busy lives on this plantation. They are oppressed and stressed, right? People who have children, triple fold, exponentially increases that stress. But at the end of the day, Bahamians need to acknowledge the undue, unnecessary stress they cause in the lives of others around them through this mindless and reckless behavior. And it has increased. Like people ignoring that sort of the stop line at the traffic light. They're now breaching that line in between that and the yellow box. They think it's a problem. That's a massive problem. You know why? Each car that breaches that line, that's a fine of $250. So four cars is $1,000. Eight cars, which I see regularly, that's $2,000 in fines that could be collected and used to support the police force that we know is overstressed and that is leaking out in their function, right? It's absolutely getting worse, the number of traffic fatalities, the number of traffic accidents. And it's not just the driving behavior. It's the policy decisions and the lack of enforcement that are also driving an escalation in bad behavior. We see when the law was changed that it didn't require you to remain on the scene of an accident for a police report, that the two drivers could essentially, with their insurance companies, work that out. Well, that didn't have the intended consequences I think the state thought it would have. They thought that it would sort of free up the police and make the process of filing claims easier. It hasn't, because you did that in an environment where people were already prepared to ignore the police, to ignore traffic reports, to ignore tickets and summons to court. So you've only, in many people's minds, given them carte blanche to continue that behavior. Hit and run, leaving the scene, leaving false information because there's no one there to verify it or a third party to check it, right? The number of traffic fatalities, the number of serious traffic incidents that are not reported, not in the news, we're not made aware of. It has certainly gotten worse. What concerns me as well is a lack of what seems like a lack of engagement from the insurance industry. And we know we already have a problem, it seems. It seems like a dysfunction in the system. If an insurance company's client is liable for an accident, and they're liable and they are required to cover the cost of repair for the other driver's vehicle, why is that insurance company not required to cover the cost of repair of public infrastructure that would have been damaged in that incident? Right.
You know, the other thing is that when I lived in the when I was educating in the UK, I did an advanced driving test, and it cost me quite a bit of money, like $300. But it allowed me to get 15% reduction in my premium. And I think the more if they had something like that, maybe more people would try that to reduce their premiums, and we might have better drivers, right?
Absolutely. And if we had a point system, right,
that
can then be used to assess the insurance. And so people who have a poor driving record would have to pay more in insurance.
Well, in Europe, you get points if you have like a, and then up when you get a certain amount of points, you're not allowed to drive for a year.
Listen, I was in boarding school in England at the age of 18 doing A-levels, final year of A-levels, and friends with one of the staff there. We were going out for dinner, and we drove to a particular point. Park, I was, what's going on? He said, well, I'm parking at a friend's house because I'm going to drink.
Okay.
Right, we're going to catch a taxi back. So I said, well, what happened? So she said, look here, I got a couple of points on my thing, and I'm not risking getting another point because then I'm just going to be a problem. Mm-hmm. And the points that she had gained were early in her driving career. That time cycle hadn't expired yet, right? Because I think there's a point when it expires. And it was something simple, like she was reversing out of her driveway and the neighbor was moving back on the road and they hit and something like that. And just all of a sudden, she's overwhelmed with points. It wasn't recklessness. It wasn't mindlessness. It was a true accident.
But do our police really know? I mean, I've been involved in a couple of accidents and the police officer came. One didn't have a note. I had to give him a piece of paper so he could write it on. And they seem to, when you're an accident, they just split the fault despite of whatever the circumstance are. My mom was hit by a truck, but she had to pay for half, you know. And so they just say it's that both were driving dangerously, and it seems to be like a default position. Well, that so the do they have people who are? Because I remember a friend of mine got an accident somewhere in Europe, and they had police come with the cameras. They come with, they measure the skid marks. They do all this kind of. Do we have that kind of?
We do have a unit. I think the question is the unit sufficiently resourced? Is it sufficiently manned, and does it have the resources necessary to provide that process, that service across the island?
So when somebody hits you and you were like stationed, they run into you, and then the police officer says the liability is on both sides. It's like it's a bit annoying, isn't it, for your insurance premium as well?
What they do is they start with everybody gets hit with a driving without due care and attention ticket, right? And I think that is premised in the idea that if you were driving the speed limit, which is 25 miles per hour from Mackey Street into town until you get to the western border of town, right? So within town, the speed limit is actually 25 miles per hour. So once you cross over Mackey on Shirley, you're now in that zone. Mm-hmm. So if you're driving below the speed limit, and you're adhering to the rules, like the driving rules, not the traffic controls, but being aware of what's going on around you, 360, reducing or eradicating all potential distractions in your vehicle, so like music, talking to other people. Yeah. If you are driving the way that you're supposed to drive, that is very unlikely that this accident would have occurred. Mm-hmm. I would say that's one of the first things my insurance agent told me when I got on the road. It's like, look, the police could tell me that you are not at fault, but if I think that you were being negligent, then I may act on that. There's an awesome responsibility on the driver, which is why I find it unfathomable that people are just this morning. I watched a couple of people in a car, a young woman, it would appear to be her mother or grandmother. The woman had earbuds in her ear. And, you know, I didn't know if mom was next to her, not smiling because she's mad, this child have earbuds. But I couldn't imagine my insurance agent letting me drive her with earbuds in my ear. Like that, that's just unfathomable that we would allow people to get on the road and take those risks. People act like the car is their personal bedroom. They act like it's their home. Now, a car, in the legal sense, does have a slight degree of privacy, right? Like there's some instances where your car is determined to be a private space. But when you're driving it, when it's in operation, you are supposed to be aware of what is going on around you. It's not the place to get your power back. It's not the place to have your morning meditation.
Yeah. Well, if you think about a lot of people driving, they learned many years ago before we had earbuds and stuff. And so we don't really have a system whereby we check in and, you go in and do, like a pilot, you have to have, you have to go in every, I think it's 3 years.
And do retraining.
And do like a 7-hour course, and then you get passed by a senior instructor. Otherwise, they won't let you. Maybe we should have something like that for the road as well, where, not at like an extensive driving test, but something, just somebody goes in with you and says, oh my Lord, is that how you drive?
We need regular retesting. Yeah. We need to ensure that people are getting eye tests and getting hearing tests, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's one thing to be in your car with all the windows up, the AC on and the music on, and it's another thing to have a hearing issue. And you're still doing that.
And you have to do that as a pilot.
Yeah.
You have your eyes tested.
Regularly.
Regularly, too.
Absolutely. Man, Mark, guess what? I didn't even intend on talking about this, because, I wanted to touch on the Grammy conversation, right? And we get into that. I think we got to go to a break. And then two things happen, one in the Bahamas, one in the U.S., but they happen in a way that made me think that maybe they're connected. I wanted us to talk about that a little bit. And then I hear Biden of all people, is around the place calling Putin and foreigners war criminals. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, well, look at sleepy Uncle Joe. Anyway, I wanted to remind Biden why?
Well, you know, they had Condoleezza Rice. She was being interviewed, and they asked her that question. Yeah. You know, is it illegal to invade another country? She said, absolutely. That's completely illegal against international. That's exactly what she did in the Iraq War.
Yes.
I mean, exactly the same thing. And to say it without a hint of irony.
Yeah.
It was just astonishing, really.
Yeah. American imperialism. Some people would say exceptionalism. I say imperialism. I like that word much better. Well, listen, producer, let's touch this call before we go to a break. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. Oh, man, caller, I lost you? I am so sorry, caller. My apologies. Producer, let's go to the break. And when we come back from the break, I want you to play that track by the 2022 Grammy's Best Reggae Album winners. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. But remember, you're on the clock with Aaron Green.
And come back to midnight. All I can feel is down. You're away.
One thing there is no debate about is that BTC has the best rates. Now, the best rates just got better because you pay half the price of the other guys with your BTC home internet and mobile services combined. Switching to BTC is a no-brainer because I pay less with BTC and get super fast internet with speeds up to 600 megs. The other guys, their internet only go up to 105 megs.
Get all the internet you want at half the price when you bundle your home internet and mobile. Visit a BTC store to make the switch today. Conditions apply.
Five-time defending Carifta swimming champions Team Bahamas is headed to Barbados April 16th through 20th for the Carifta Swimming Championships. Show your support for Team Bahamas by placing an ad in the Nassau Guardian Special Carifta Swimming Championship section, which will be published on April 4th. This is your chance to congratulate Team Bahamas, the coaches, or an individual swimmer in their quest for a sixth title. For more information, call your Nassau Guardian account executive now at 302-2300, 302-2300, and get your message in our special Carifta Swimming Championship section. Get ready for the 2022 Carifta Swimming Championships and Team Bahamas going for gold again.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the solution. Sponsor On the Clock with Aaron Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
You know. Putting up defense, it's cause I'm big down inside. So I have learned to build these rules tonight and I, but I can't let.
Good morning. Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Aaron Green, my co-host today, Mr. Mark Palmer. And what you listened to just now is an excerpt from the Sugar Shack Sessions from Soulja, the winners of the 2022 Grammy Reggae Album of the Year. Now, there's been a lot of opposition to this selection, to the point where I've called this segment the gentrification of blackness. Now,
Or commercialization,
or maybe even the word you used, appropriation.
Right? My daughter would use that.
There you
for
go.
Sure.
There yeah. you go. I like her style of thinking, right? And so the nominees this year were Etana for her album Pomosia, Gramps Morgan, Positive Vibration, Live and Living, Sean Paul, Royal by Jesse Royal, and 10 by Spice. Now, Mark, before you would confirm whether you could join me today, I had created a playlist of these artists. And I realized that, you know, I was sitting home upset, being petty, upset at whiteness and the overarching, seemed like uncontrollable urge of whiteness to consume everything in its path. And let me just say here to my audience, I say this respectfully, let us remember that ancestry and race are like two different things, right? Ancestry and race are two different things. People can be of European descent, mm-hmm. which is ancestry, and people could be white, which is race. Mm-hmm. They are not the same thing, mm-hmm. right? They're not the same thing. Whiteness, race is mutable. It changes over time, geography, culture, right? Ancestry, it is what it is. You trace your DNA back, it's one road back. That's yep. all. So I say that now. The Jamaican people are very upset.
I bet.
They've written a letter to anybody who have a mailbox to express their concern over this win.
You can't blame them. If you think back of, you know, champagne, right?
Yeah.
Let's use another different example.
Yeah, yeah.
Champagne, the French, real champagne is only supposed to come from the area of Champagne, which is a small part in France, right? So anything else is not allowed to call itself champagne.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of the same argument. And then, it, you know, people were calling it, and then it became bubbly wine that was called champagne mm-hmm. as well. So this may be the same thing. Then you can see why the French got hot under the collar, because they were losing money, right?
Yeah.
Because other
yeah,
people
yeah.
were getting money for a product that technically didn't come from that area.
Yeah.
So maybe this is down to money?
Possibly.
Do you think? Possibly.
I mean, okay. I think that's a big part of it, right?
Mm.
Like, watch this. I'm a reggae artist. I and other artists like myself have been struggling in our own country to bring our personal music to the forefront, but collectively to bring this genre recognition in our own country and show them, man, look here, this thing powerful, it's all across the globe, recognition globally, right? And I work and I work and I work, and now I brought this form, right? I want to say, like, I think I wrote it down somewhere. I just write these notes at like 4 a.m. But when, you know, indigenous culture, what's the thin line? What's the thin line between culture that is created and rooted in indigenous experience and culture that is embraced and celebrated by the world? Where is the thin line in that process, right? From creation and sustaining of that culture, like reggae music, from ska, roots reggae, culture, to dancehall, right? And now there was a thin line somewhere, and it didn't start with dancehall, right? Because I'm going to say to people, remember when Sean Paul was gentrified reggae? Remember when Sean Paul was reggae for white people in the global north? And now Sean Paul is in a category where the person who won is being accused of gentrifying
him.
Yeah. Right? And then what does it mean for a Bahamian who is not a Jamaican to sit here on God's good mic and pretend like I have the authority to have this conversation about the ownership and value of Jamaican music, right? So producer, play the track by Jesse Royal. Now, if anybody should have won, I think this guy, Jesse, Lie in Order, I think this guy should have won.
Why?
When you hear it.
Okay.
I think it's the truest and closest thing on the list to raw reggae, to the culture.
So who makes the decision on the winner? Who decides the winner?
Well, there's the, whenever you're ready, there's the Grammy Awards voting process, right?
Mm-hmm.
Recording Academy members enter recordings and music videos. Reviewing sessions by more than 350 experts in various fields to ensure they meet specific qualifications. So that's like the screening, right? The purpose of screenings is to not make artistic or technical judgments about the recordings, but rather to make sure that each entry is eligible and is in the proper category.
Okay.
So like we may eventually enter a rake and scrape album into the world music or folk category,
mm-hmm.
and somebody may say, oh no, that need to be with reggae, and then somebody will say, but listen, no, that's a distinct art form genre separate from reggae, although similar in its rootings. So then there's nominating. First round ballots are sent out to voting members. And then for craft categories, so I imagine that the best reggae album should be a craft category final nominations are determined by committees comprised of voting members from all of the Academy's chapter cities, right? Okay.
All right.
And so for me, I think that's the place where, because I was going to say, how did they even get nominated for Best Album? Producer, when you ready? Let's play that. When you hear this, right? And now I'd also say, Spice, use my girl, you all over the world. You can't play that music everywhere, though. It's nice, you know. It's good at pumping. It's clubbing. It's banging. But it's mature content.
Gotcha.
A lot of her music is... She got some good tracks. She got a track here called Friends, right? Which is a nice, solid, I would say like a reggae ballad. Positive messaging. But some of her other tracks, I think they're good enough to win a Grammy, I could understand why, like technically, musically, they're great. I could understand why it wouldn't have been selected. So this is Lion Order by Jesse Royal and Protégé. Song, don't watch nothing. That's not the song, because that sounds like Soulja. And I'm not dissing Soulja. I'm just saying, as Caribbean people, we need to be more involved in this process of defining reggae music and what the best reggae music is, right? And so I think that the Bahamians could have this discussion, and this is a discussion that all of us around the world could have, right? Because it's more than just reggae music. It's about culture. Who owns culture? Who is the authoritative voice to define the standards, the limits of culture? And we gotta ask the same questions about Bahamian music as well. Even though it's not as popular as reggae across the world or popular in the same way, there's tons of Bahamian music that's been revived, if I could take some words, key words from Verve, the record company. They've been revived, reinvigorated, and they've been owned, right? But not in a way that makes me feel like appropriation all the time, right? And so, producer, you give me the signal when you're ready. A couple of months ago, I was creating a playlist for the Culture Show, and I found the song Goombay Rock by Blind Blake. But I realized that there were covers of the song from all around the world, including in France.
Really?
So, the Loire Valley Calypsos, right? They do a version of Goombay Rock. And the reason I know they love it, right, is because they got like three or four different albums, like compilations. It's all over the place. And then there's a group called Cool Kids. And then there's a guy named Sean Costello. And then I even found, listen, Mark, I found a kids version of Goombay Rock, like a North American kids version. But it had been, and I can use this word, so gentrified that they no longer pronounce the word Goombay, they pronounce it Gumbay.
Gumbay, okay.
Right? And so this conversation is also relevant to the Bahamas, because we don't even know, the vast majority of Bahamians don't even know the songs that have been from reappropriated to reimagined by foreign artists. There you go. Whenever you're ready, producer. Lion Order by Jesse Royal. There, you hear that?
Don't keep no square in your circle. Them come from every angle just to hurt you. Holy lions in my den. No snake nor no rat can be my friend. Loyalty, royalty,
Friends with no base of a currency. We no worship vanity. Unity is our sanity. Stay grounded like gravity. More friend with your family.
Excited. I turned off. I'm getting too excited, man. Look here. And let me tell you what I love about it. Like, that's revolution music. Mm-hmm. That's what it may not have sounded to you like Bob, but that's how Bob's music make you feel, right? There's an authenticness to it. That even though I love Spice and I love Sean Paul and their evolution of reggae music, and they're actually the Jamaicans gentrifying it in this global scene, the Jesse Royal track still, Lie in Order, could win, that one track could win the whole album, right?
Yeah.
There's an authenticness about it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if Soulja's music manifests that, you know? But
I haven't listened to enough of it. I mean, what's your thoughts in terms of, it doesn't give you that kind of
It don't give me, not what that track by Jesse Royal gave me, right? Now, I like Soulja's music. I would tell you there's a time when that would have been on plenty playlists, majority of playlists, right? But it does not resonate with me as authentic. Like, it's a reggae 2.0, and I think that's fine. Like, I don't have a problem with a reggae 2.0, but it's not roots reggae.
You might need just a category, a different category for this.
It's not culture. Yeah. It's not ska. It's not roots reggae. It's not dancehall. It's something more, and it's something more than just Jamaican. And what's the cap? When is more Jamaican too much more than Jamaican, right? Like, more than Jamaican is too much. And I think these are questions that we have the right to ask as small island developing states, mm-hmm. where the primary obligation to preserve culture is on us in the face of the way that culture works. And cultural imperialism, an intentional agenda to sort of consume people through inundating them with your culture. And so I was trying to figure out, like, cause, you know, I like Bahamian conversations, and it's a global discussion, but it's a local discussion as well, without a doubt. Producer, look here, play that song, Blind Blake, Gumbe Rock, and then play either one of the ones beneath it. So I want you all to hear the same thing with a local sound, right? Blind Blake, Gumbe Rock. And I don't know. As a Bahamian, I like the idea. I like to celebrate. I all over the world. I had a show with discussing the visit of the Duchess and the Duke. I think I can tell them, listen, you didn't know that was us, eh? We're everywhere that you go, that's us. But there you go, blindly.
Pretty soon I wound up in the best Indies. An island girl, she happened to be there on hand to greet me as I landed on the tropical sand. I felt that I would meld into a woman grace, so taken up was I with all of savage grace. But just when heaven seems to be so very near, she take me by the arm and whisper in my ear, Gumbe, Gumbe, rockin' do the Gumbe, come and do the Gumbe rock.
Thank you, producer. Let's play that second one. Let's play that second one. Now, Mark, I don't know. I remember watching movies, and I know this song fit right into the soundtrack, in the dance scene, like a Frank Sinatra or somebody.
This is from the 50s, right? Or when
I think so, maybe even earlier. Maybe play the one, the Loire Valley or the Cool Kids, so people could hear. See, because if I am around a place telling people the Bahamas is everywhere, how could I get mad at people whose lives have been influenced by quote-unquote Bahamas to the point where it's a natural part of them. They feel attuned. Anyway, so this is Loire Valley Calypso's Gumbe Rock.
One day I've started out upon the seven seas, but pretty soon I wound up in the West Indies. An island girl, she happened to be there on hand to greet me as I landed on a tropical sand. I felt that I would melt into her warm embrace. So taking up was I.
Well, you know, you ever been to Bon Vivant? If you go inside, they have a lot of the old long play record sleeves for the going back, must be to the 40s, maybe the 50s, definitely the 70s.
Yeah.
That's a place where I see these bands and I'm looking, I never heard of this band, you know, and they were really, you know, big bands of the day, the time.
Absolutely. And so many of those voices were Bahamian,
yeah.
You know, and this is not the only song. I mean, I think the most popular example is Sloop John B, right? Like how many people in the world know that that's an old Bahamian shanty?
Nope.
Right? That's an old Bahamian anthem. But the Bee Gees, no, the Beach Boys took that, and people own it. Like it's a part of their cultural and ancestral experience. And so, you know, for us, we got to ask the question, you know, we want to be in the world, but how much control over yourself do you have once you in the world, right? And what are the things that are so sacred and so valuable to us that we will practice them, we will preserve them, we will perform them with no concern of money, with no concern of compensation. We do it because it is up to us to preserve it. And if we beg or ask other people to help us to preserve it, then we're open to their interpretation, right? And that's not always a bad thing. You know, we got brothers and sisters, we got cousins and uncles and aunts. We invite you all to come and grow the Bahamian experience with us. But there are some things that must be sacred to us that we have to preserve.
I would love to see some of those older songs reimagined, you know, by local artists.
Man, listen,
bring it into a new genre.
Every Tuesday.
Amazing, because he had a beautiful voice.
Yeah.
Beautiful voice.
And then, so when you hear Blind Blake telling the story that I played on a couple
Was he really blind?
I think so.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, if he wasn't, he's a Bahamian, he knew how to get navigate the world.
Public relations, right?
Absolutely. I got a bunch of texts here, Mark.
Yeah.
I want to play some more music. Aaron, there's a really weird phenomenon on Village Road heading north right before Parkgate Road. There are drivers who intentionally block both lanes to prevent merging. It is the most weird thing. It's a merge lane. It's designed to allow more cars to enter Village Road and speed up the flow. But these dummies sit in the middle of the lane intentionally preventing a merge. Remember I telling you all, these cultures that we sort of look at them, and we're looking at sexual violence and abuse in the country. It's deeper than that. There's a lack of regard for concepts like consent and bodily autonomy and the right of way that then impact every space that the person is in. And driving on the road, that's where you're going to see it most. So you're absolutely right. I don't know what these people are thinking about. I mean, we do know what they're thinking about. Sitting here on Saunders Beach and watching the most amazing slackness. Okay, thank you, Texter. I ain't gonna snitch on the people right now. Hey, Aaron, the pedophilia is out of control. What are we going to do with these men and big grown gay women preying on our girls? Any suggestions? Listen, I'm going to tell you, Texter, if you had just said women, because women are also preying on
young boys,
right? Then I would have taken your text more seriously. But I think you're just trying to stoke me. Like when you asked me, how could Jesus be your Lord and Savior, Aaron? I want to ask you, how could he be yours? There you go. I have a problem with insurance adjusters and engineers being involved with who repairs my vehicle because I am bound as a car owner to... How are insurance... I text her. I want to talk to you more about that. That is interesting. Miss Green, it's a new day. You don't see yet by grab. You know what I don't see yet? I don't see enough Tamarin on the ground. And whoever have the winter ganeps, I am so upset you didn't call me this winter. But there were winter ganeps. There are ganeps in the winter, and I didn't get any this year. And I am also upset about that texter. By grab, I didn't grab any. Somebody says, listen, they call in NIB 502-1500. No response. Is anyone in office today? Listen, you know when they say the Bahamas is not a real place? Remember that book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? That wardrobe is somewhere in NIB. I believe it's in one of the elevators. And that's why nobody's ever make it to the desk where the phone is. Also, NIB, people are relying on you for their survival. People out here claiming that they're not being able to receive checks for 6 and 5 months, claims not being answered for years. This is not a joke. Poor people rely on you for their survival. Hi, Aaron, I agree. The eye test, the hearing test, but you forget the brain test. No, you're absolutely right. We need a full test every 2 to 3 years, or if your points on your record require it. Absolutely. So, Mark, we didn't get to talk about the AG's proclamation that the government is going to be moving forward with cannabis legislation in the next few days, if not weeks.
Yeah.
And I thought that was eerie because the U.S. federal system just voted in the House of Representatives on the MORE Act, which is, I have it written down here, the Marijuana Opportunity Reinvestment and Expungement Act. Now, listen, I'm not very hopeful for this because, first of all, the guy that's pushing it forward says the prohibition is over. But that's not what it means to end the prohibition on marijuana. Creating a federal regulation system and implementing a federal tax is not lifting the prohibition. You have decriminalized at the federal level, but you lifting the prohibition means go do what you want with the thing. It's a plant, and you could treat it like grass. If you eat grass and get sick with your dog, do it. That's what it means. But the second thing is this. I wouldn't have called it the Marijuana Opportunity Reinvestment and Expungement Act. I would have called it the CORE Act. Cannabis. Because marijuana still suggests that you think that this is some sort of dangerous, nefarious devil lettuce sent to destroy all of us. And I think that that then suggests that it still requires this heavy layer of regulation and control. I'm hoping I could save this topic until you come next week, but I think you got a hot topic for me next week. So I don't know. Maybe you're going to have to duck work tomorrow and come join me, man.
All right, we'll see.
Absolutely. Don't do that. Definitely. Be good. Don't do that. Thank you for tuning in, Bahamas, on this Global Tuesday with Mark Palmer, On the Clock with Aaron Green. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9. Producer, play the last song on the playlist, man. Play the last song for me. You guys have a good day. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio AM. And remember, Talking Heads with Naughty at 4 p.m. this afternoon.
Big up yourself, Rory, for real, man. I'm massive, that's one of the mind, yeah, them that comes 11 town road leads to Wilberforce, same base, so this is how the
greetings, massive, this is Jawaxan, straight out of Japan. This is Junior, brand new Kabaka Pyramid, Tinker, reggae music. Many squeeze this tune, man.
Oh, God, give me the rhythm, them, I'ma burn them.
Well, if the dub them sound sweet and the people them a dance, I must ja work sound system a come across, lad. Watch ya! I say, Mr. DJ, kill that sound again. Well, this a ja work, sweat the people them defend. From now till the morning, sound boy get hang over. I must set the pattern and the trend. Hey, Mr. DJ, play that one again. Well, this a reggae music where the people them defend. And from now till the morning, vibes in all go end. Nothing derogative, a strictly message I send. From the born in Jamaica, there is no escaping it. Reggae music from the top, it's everybody's favorite. Say you're not gonna feel no pain, even when the bass are lick. This is perfectly natural and no nothing satanic. And if you're born overseas, you need...
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Nassau, Bahamas.